Welcome back, everyone, to the 12th episode of Aspire, the Leadership Development Podcast, where we will be discussing the visions, inspirations, and experiences from top educational leaders. My name is Joshua Stamper, and you can connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram at Joshua_Stamper. This week, I'm so thrilled to be joined by David Guerin, the principal of Bolivar High School, the 2017 NASSP National Digital Principal of the Year, and author of Future Driven. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Joshua, thank you. I appreciate you having me on your show.
And David, as you know, the show is centered on leadership development. I would love to hear your personal leadership journey and how you became an administrator.
Well, when I got into education, I thought I was going to be a basketball coach and English teacher for my entire career. I really never thought of myself as being principal, but along the way, different things happened and my thoughts began to go in that direction a little bit. So after 9 years of teaching and coaching, I taught high school English, coached basketball and softball. I had the opportunity to take my first principal job in Miller, Missouri, at a small school where I was 7 through 12 principal there, and really just recognized in my teaching career that leadership was something that I was interested in. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to serve and grow. I think a lot of it was, I want to grow. I want something that's going to push me and test me. And boy, did I find something that has really caused me to grow. Because if you're a leader of a building, then you're going to have to grow in order to be effective and to continue to be effective. So let's see, I'm entering my, 13th year being a principal. It's been good. It's a good thing. It's challenging, but it's good.
So did you go straight from the teaching position to principal, or were you also an assistant principal?
I did. I've never been an assistant principal because it was a smaller school and kind of a late hire, quite frankly. I was able to go right from the classroom into a principal position. So, yeah, I had a lot to learn. But I had good mentors. I had a superintendent, Tony Rossetti, who was really helpful to me and helped bring me along. And I spent 3 years there before I had the opportunity to come to my current position in Bolivar.
And did you always aspire to be an administrator, or was there a person or a situation that influenced that decision?
I had some principals that I really looked up to when I was a kid, but I didn't really ever aspire to that until, you know, into my teaching career, really feeling like an opportunity to take a next step, to do something that would continue to challenge and was an opportunity for growth. And I just felt a little unsettled and like I needed to maybe take that step. And really, it's been a really good fit for me. It was something that pushed me to grow. Some of the things I thought as a teacher, you know, I just think totally different now. And that perspective change and my the opportunity to be a leader in a building has really helped me to, just grow my own capacity. So it's been a really positive thing. And I've enjoyed the being able to support and just invest and try to add value to teachers and students across the entire building. And that's exciting just to get to be a part of everything.
So when I first became an administrator, I thought people would follow my vision and initiatives because of my title. Of course, I was wrong. What was your largest misconception when you first became an administrator?
Wow. I think there were a lot of misconceptions. And I think one of them is what you just mentioned, a little bit of, you know, the top-down approach is just kind of what you think of as a leader, someone who tells other people what to do. So I think I had to come to understand that quite a bit. I think that I just had a great appreciation for the complexity of decisions that leaders have to make. I think when I was a teacher, sometimes I would armchair quarterback, like I don't understand why they're doing it that way, or I would get a little frustrated with different things. And now I just realize how much I really didn't know, like about how complex some of the decisions were, and how sometimes administrators, you're doing the best you can with the information you have and with situations that don't have just easy answers.
When you became a principal, what was one area you wanted to change about education?
Well, I don't know that I had a specific area that I wanted to change. I knew that it was really important to invest in people. And so I really wanted to support teachers and try to just aim for excellence. and pursue that. But I think I came to grow more into some of the ideas that I have now that I'm passionate about. Still passionate about relationships, but want to create more authentic learning for students and really do school a little bit differently than how, you know, you and I probably experienced it. I just think there's a relevance gap, and so many kids are trying to just get through school instead of seeing what they can get out of school. And we can't just expect the students to adjust to how we do things. We need to create learning that meets them where they are. And the world's just so different now than it was, you know, pre-internet, really. And the way that we can learn now is just so much more empowered outside of the school setting that, you know, we need to empower our students.
So for those staff members who believe they are exceptional at their craft, how do you create a culture of growth?
Well, I think we recognize the definition of mediocrity, I think. Mediocrity doesn't mean you're either good or bad. Mediocrity means you're just happy with how things are. You're content with things being the same. And excellence is the idea that no matter how good I am, I'm going to continue to pursue greatness in my craft. I'm going to try to get even better. And so I think we talk about those things. We speak those things to our staff members. You know, we're not going to just think I've arrived. That's not the path to fulfillment. The path to fulfillment in your work is to continually be improving, just like we want our students to continually be improving also. And when we think about mediocrity that way, and what the definition really is, I think that challenges us not to get content and to always be striving to grow and build our capacity. We don't know what we're capable of unless we continue to try to grow and learn and get stronger in what we do.
What are some characteristics that you believe every leader should possess in a similar position?
I think you need to be humble in your leadership and willing to listen. I think those are very important. Willing to serve, to work alongside your teachers and not above them. I think you need to be honest and as transparent as you can be, and just as authentic as you can be also. Be willing to admit mistakes. Those are some of the things that are really important to me. I think you also have to, you know, have a vision and communicate well, give nudges to people to help them move forward and take next steps, and be willing to invest in them. So those are just a few things that stand out to me.
So for the transition of going from a teacher to a principal, that's a huge leap. What was the biggest surprise to you in the new role?
Probably all the politics. I knew that coming from coaching a little bit, being around school for a decade, but I didn't know it to the extent that I did when I was up close and personal with the workings of a school in a way that was different than before. So the political part of it was probably the thing that was like the most difficult transition, because I just want to do the right thing for kids. But sometimes you have to compromise and make decisions that aren't your first thing, because there's a big picture and there's other interests that are involved that we have to work within. And that doesn't mean you sell your soul either. I mean, I just think sometimes in order to create the best learning environment, you do have to, you know, make little concessions because the political frame is real. And if you don't pay attention to it, then you won't be there to make a difference. And you're not going to be able to get the things done that you want to get done that are your agenda and your priorities.
So what do you do to increase student voice on your campus?
Well, we try to listen. You know, that's one thing. We were talking about that today when students will just kind of move right past my secretary into my office. And I'm like, yeah, that's no big deal. I don't mind at all. You know, it's not been something that's been an issue. And I try to be out and about as much as I can too. But when I'm not and they come looking for me, then, you know, I enjoy having them in my office and they bring me ideas. One thing that happened this last year is I had a couple students that they want to start an esports program, competitive gaming, which is turning into a huge thing nationally. And so we're listening, we're trying to work that out. I've had students come to me and say, hey, I'd like to have this speaker for an assembly. I saw him at such and such conference. We brought him in. But we try to listen and encourage students to speak up and make us better. That's something I talk about a lot, is make us better. You know, tell us what you see that we could do better. I'll ask kids, if you were principal, what would you do differently around here? And those answers are always interesting. And then we also do surveys so we can get data from all students and their voice on how they're experiencing things in our school.
What do you think was the most successful or innovative initiative that you did at your high school?
Well, I think one that was really interesting was we did a tech support after school for senior citizens in our community. And so if they had questions about how to use their laptop or their iPhone or their tablet, we had students that would be on hand after school, and then senior citizens could come in and they could ask those questions. And it was just really neat to see the cross-generational interactions that happened. And we had a lot of regular customers. They'd come back every week just to kind of get one-on-one help with different things because they were wanting to learn more. And so that was part of our SWAT team that we had that was, it's a group that students working to advance technology, and they just helped really with all things related to our Chromebook initiative and technology kinds of things in our building. So it was a lot of fun.
In addition to your admin position, you are very active on social media and you wrote a book. How did you find your voice beyond the campus?
I got on social media with Twitter really as a school account. Because I noticed some other schools posting things about their students. And then eventually I started kind of a professional account that was more, well, it was at David Guerin. And, you know, I was pretty inactive for a couple of years. I mean, I had it. Occasionally I would look at it. And then I really just started interacting. I got involved in some Twitter chats. Our state has a chat, Moed chat, and I was really involved in it for a while. And I just started making a lot of really good connections, friends, and feeling like this sense of community and support through that was just phenomenal. And it just grew a little bit at a time. And I also found, hey, when I'm sharing good stuff out, when I'm sharing either positive encouragement or something I'm learning or a great thing that happened in a classroom, that it really just lifts me up too. Like I feel good and feel like I'm a better leader when I'm just sharing through Twitter and other ways too. But that was a good avenue. It was a platform, kind of gave me a sounding board for that was really helpful. And then that, of course, some of those ideas just got stronger and stronger, and that led to the book.
So for those starting their leadership journey, what advice do you have for them?
I think the number one thing is to never stop growing. To always be pushing yourself, trying to learn. I try to read as much as I can and make my own growth a priority each week. And again, reading is a big part of that. I think surrounding yourself with people that are rock stars, which I'm privileged in my work. I've got an amazing staff and teacher leaders and building leaders around me that are just so good at helping me and supporting me and helping me think things through and just get things done. It's just such a blessing to have a great team to work with. And I think you just always need to be looking at people too that are a little bit further down the path than you are and picking their brains, learning from them, trying to mimic some of the things that they're doing. Make it your own personality involved, but what are the things that the most successful people are doing? And how can I try to emulate that?
And I just want to take a moment real quick to talk about your book. For those who haven't read your book, Future Driven, what's it all about?
It's really about creating schools that are preparing kids for the world they're going to live in and not the world that we grew up in. It's thinking forward. It's looking at a long-term perspective, like not just preparing kids for the test, for the next grade level, or getting them through school with the diploma. But what are our kids going to need to be successful in a world that is changing faster than it ever has before in the history of humanity? And the idea in it is basically that our students are going to need to be continuous and adaptable learners. It's not enough to learn a discrete discipline, to know a subject really well. You've got to be able to learn and be nimble and adaptable because you may have multiple careers. Your job may be replaced at some point by machine technology, but you, if you're adaptable and you can continue to learn, you'll always be able to land on your feet and take advantage of the opportunities that are available. Because even though there's great challenges with technology and our future and some of the things that are happening, there are incredible opportunities too. So I think it's a hopeful book. I think it's an encouraging book. It really talks about not just the learning aspects, but also that soft skills and relationship skills and life skills are so important to be a future-driven educator, too. We need to be investing in students and a life, not just our content, not just implementing a curriculum.
In closing, what is the most enjoyable aspect of leadership?
Well, without a doubt, it's the getting to help people, work with people. You know, it's every morning I get up and I am excited to be able to go to work because I feel like I'm going to have the opportunity to make a difference and do something that's significant in the life of a child. Our parents are sending their most valuable possession, the most valuable thing to them in the world each day. And I take that responsibility very seriously and want to make sure that I'm showing up well and doing everything I can to help them become everything they can be. So it's just a privilege to get to do what we do.
And David, how can our listeners connect with you on social media?
Well, my Twitter handle is at David Guerin, and so that's a really good way. I use the hashtag for the book, Future Driven, quite a bit, so that's another good way to connect. And I am starting a Twitter chat that's going to be a 30-minute chat on Sunday nights, the first and third Sundays of the month. It will be at 8:30 Central. I had some readers who requested that, and so that would be a great way to just connect around the ideas in the book. Really kind of be part of that community because there really has become a group of educators who have kind of connected with Future Driven, and I stay in touch with them, and it's been great to have that feedback.
Yeah, I can't wait for that Twitter chat. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it should be great.
Please continue to check out the Aspire podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes and share your ratings and reviews. Don't forget to use the Aspire Lead hashtag as you continue the conversation on Twitter. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks a lot, Joshua. I appreciate it. Good to talk to you.